Being a ministry wife is a role without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women in various ministry contexts for authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. My guest today is Amber Williams. She has been a pastor's wife for almost 13 years and lives and serves in Louisville, Kentucky. She's married to Jamal, who is the pastor of Sojourn Community Church. She's also the mother of 5 kids, loves to speak Spanish, and loves to cook and bake, which comes in handy because she also loves opening her home to people from every walk of life. And that's what we're going to talk about together today. So here, friends, is my conversation with Amber Williams. Amber, thank you so much for joining me again. You've been on my podcast before, and I am excited to have you back. So welcome.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be back.
Well, we're going to be talking about the same thing we talked about last time. I thought I want to have an episode about how to practice hospitality. And I just thought of you again, because when I met you, you are a person who demonstrates hospitality, I would say, just in the way that you interact with people. And so I can't wait to learn from you today.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
So how we're talking about biblical hospitality, and I would love to know from you how you would define that, because a lot of times when we think about hospitality, at least for me, I think about Martha Stewart. I think about a beautiful table decorated and my home perfect. And so I don't think that is how we should think about hospitality. Yeah. So I'd love to know, how do you think about it?
Yeah, well, I'll say Rosario Butterfield and The Gospel Comes with the House Creed was really impactful in helping me reframe my idea of hospitality as well. And in it, she mentions, like, you know, it's not just pretty tablescapes like you mentioned and everything is in order, the house is clean, but it's really being an inviting space where people can come in, they can be still valued, feel loved, and also have an opportunity to meet Jesus. So I think that's what distinguishes biblical hospitality from entertaining, is the spiritual component. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have a Bible study every time that you're doing hospitality, but it's just that being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's presence and inviting Him into the space to impact the people that are there.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's a really big part of our ministry as pastors' wives. At least it has been, especially with church planting for me. But I think there's probably people listening who are like, that's just not my thing. I'm not good at that. And we are going to talk about some practical things. But I would like for you just to give voice to why hospitality. And when I think of that, I'm specifically meaning opening our home. Why is that such a significant part of our ministry as pastors' wives?
Yeah. You know, we cannot underestimate the impact of presence, just as people, but especially as Christians and even as pastors' wives. Like, our presence and being available in various capacities really impacts people. And I can, you know, sometimes forget that. Like, just I've heard over and over again, like, oh, it's just so, I can't believe you would have us over. That's so kind of you. And I know you're so busy. And, you know, as pastors' wives, and oftentimes as Christian people, we can be busy, but when we stop and make time and space for others, it really does speak volumes.
Yes, I have found that to be true, and it's really a way we can set ourselves apart from the culture. It's a distinctive of being a Christian that we would open our homes, and at least in the region of the country that I live in, that is a very unusual thing. And people kind of almost don't know what to do with an invitation, right? So I'm wondering for you, where did this love of hospitality come from? Has it always been a part of who you are, or is that something that developed later?
Yeah. You know, I think, like, just this idea of, like, biblical hospitality, or, like, hospitality as it relates to Christians, really was, like, ingrained in me in college. Our college pastor, he was a hospitable person. So there are many times that he would just have our college Bible study like over at his house, Super Bowls or whatever. And he just opened his home to us and was so, so personable and just really invited us into his space. And that really framed for both me and my husband, because we went to the same college, like that really framed hospitality for us. And we wanted to replicate that when my husband went into the ministry. Like we wanted to be that presence, what he was for us.
Hmm. That's amazing. It's like discipleship just by being in their presence.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get to the how-tos of hospitality. And one of the first questions that comes to mind for me is, And we're speaking, you serve at a pretty large church. The campus y'all are at is pretty big, right? And So the question for me is, how do I determine who I'm going to have over? How do you make that decision?
That can be a tough decision because you can have so many different invitations. I know, like, so my husband will receive lots of emails where either people are wanting to have us over or they're just new to the church. And so I think it really depends. Like sometimes we want to like move towards people that are new, that are maybe have just moved into the city, or also like our church, one of our values is just a diverse community. And so we also want to step in and meet people from different walks of life, different ethnicities. And when they're coming into this space, which can be uncomfortable, we want to engage them and let them know that they're welcome here. So those things have a place too. So it kind of depends on the season, but like every person from every different walk, like we want to make space for all of those people at various times.
Can we ask, I just want to ask a logistical question.
Yeah.
So you maybe the thought comes to mind, let's have someone over. You go to Jamal, you talk to him about it, or this is how I'm envisioning it. But how does that work? I mean, logistically, can you walk us through how you practice that?
Yeah, well, often like we'll say, hey, we've got these people that we would like to have come over. Let's take a look at our calendar and let's see when we can plug in having people over. And, I think it's important to take into consideration like personalities and stuff like that. I have a little bit more bandwidth for like people and entertaining, where my husband's a little more introverted. And so a lot of like he loves it, but it does take a lot out of him, especially if there's multiple things back to back. So we really just try to say like, hey, let's look at maybe Friday nights or maybe even like a weeknight, and like we've got these people. So let's just plug in. Let's look at our calendar for the month and see where we can put, where we can have people over.
So I'm envisioning you're bringing one family in a time or one single in a time. Is that right? Or are you combining people? You're saying, hey, our house is open. Yeah.
Not long ago, we had some new families to our church, newer families. And we had was going to be three families at one time. And then one ended up not being able to come, but it's like, okay, we're going to have these three families together. Cause they're kind of, they're like a community as well. So yeah, we'll have these three families over, or, hey, let's have over the young adults. Let's invite some of our Black and Brown people over, or, our Spanish speaking community. So sometimes we will group it together. And so it's like you get bigger impact and you can get more people in at one time.
That's so amazing. I love it. So you talked earlier about that you really want biblical hospitality is about creating an environment where the Spirit can move. And so I'm wondering, how do you prepare for that? How do you prepare yourself? How do you prepare your home? How does Jamal, together as a couple, do you prepare yourself to where you're ready when people come through the door?
Yeah, we do. We do try to be prayerful. And I know one of the prayers that we often will, say together collectively is, and as a family, is like, hey, we want to be a life-giving presence to whoever comes into our home tonight. And so, one of the ways that we do that is, I think, like questions, like we're continually asking questions and prayer. And sometimes that involves like a liturgy book, where we might read a liturgy for dinner or for a gathering or something like that, where we're just taking the time to intentionally like take a pause and be like, all right, Lord, you are welcome in this place.
Yeah. Is it Every Moment Holy? Is that the book?
I love Every
Moment. Ah, yes. That is an amazing book because it gives you liturgies for just the most random things that you would never think of. And then you read them and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm crying.
Yes.
But it really sets your mind on what you're about to do and asking the Lord to bless that. I love that. I think a lot of times, at least for me, I think of hospitality as this meal, like full-blown sit-down meal. But one day I just realized, you know what? It didn't have to be that. Like, it could be just set out some ice cream or let's just have coffee and cookies or whatever. It doesn't have to be a meal. So I'm wondering, do you have specific things that you do that are not just that typical idea that we think of? Help us think creatively about what we can do.
Yeah. I mean, so we did, and I have a friend too, who's like, I don't really like to cook that much, but you can come over for coffee, tea, and snacks. Like, so she'll do that a lot. But, and us too, it's like, well, hey, let's come over for dessert, or why don't we come and do games, or let's just come over and hang out where it's not really meal centered, but, you know, just finding, you know, other various ways to like, hey, you guys are welcome to come, or like, it's late, it's after church, like, you guys can come sit on the porch with us and we can, you know, we can talk. And so it, I think just like availability, like it doesn't have to be a big drawn out thing, but just again, making that time and that space, whether there's a meal or it's just snacks and lemonade or dessert, that all that's meaningful.
I think some pastor's wives listening might think, I don't get those kinds of invitations. Like, it sounds like Amber and Jamal are being invited to do a lot, and probably because you're giving off a vibe of, you know, you're welcome in our home. This is something that's important to us. Could you maybe speak to that? Are there things that you do that you really try to be intentional about being open to those kinds of things?
Yeah. I think, again, one of the things that was imparted to us from our college pastor in presence is, I think some of this is also fostered by like on Sundays or whatever, like lingering after the service and, you know, intentionally like making conversation with new faces, with members, and just, you know, and talking. And also like, I think like, remember, like we really try to like remember people's names or ask their names, and like, and that can be challenging. And some people are better at that than others, but it's like, okay, let me try to hear their name and remember their name. But I do think that really, like, it was a like our college pastor, like, in the culture of our church was to be, like, not just the pastor that's that preaches and then disappears, but that tries to be there. Now, I think that we, you know, we all have to have wisdom, and you have to realize that you can't be everything to everyone, and there does need to be like space and boundaries and recognizing that. But it means a lot when you're present, when they see you. Yeah. And so I think we've tried to embody that, and like, they're like, hey, we're people like you. We care about you and we want to know you. So
that is amazing. And that's what we felt. This is why I thought of you about hospitality, because when we met you and Jamal, that's exactly the demeanor that you engaged with us, is just being interested in us, asking good questions, and just having deep conversation pretty quickly. And I think that that really makes people feel special. It's a being a there you are person is what I call it. Instead of a here I am waiting for someone to come toward me, I'm going to go toward them, and I'm going to seek to make them feel honored and at home. So thank you for that. I'm also wondering about kids, because you have 5 kids, right?
Yes.
And what are the ages?
11, 10, 9. And then our twins are 5.
Okay. So lots of kids. And this can be what we think of as a hindrance. Okay. I've got all these kids. How am I going to, you know, often we're inviting families who have their own set of kids. Can you speak to that? Specifically, let's start with, how do you prepare your kids when people are coming over?
Yeah, well, aside from the, you know, inevitable cleaning spree that we go on, we do always try to remind our kids, like, hey, we're having people over. Let's remember that it is not about us. So, you know, let's try to remember that it's not about us, that we're here to serve. One of the first questions we usually get when we're having people over is, do they have kids? And because they also love to meet new people, and you know, so it's like, yeah, like, hey, the kids are coming. You guys, like, let's make sure that we're being respectful of them, that we're making them feel welcome. And of course, there's the, at times we're going to be having, we might be having deep conversation. Let's try not to interrupt.
Yes.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
So, but I do think that it's important, like, for, and I'll do this too, like, even sometimes when hospitality is not like the whole family's coming for dinner, but I have a young lady or someone, a mom and her kids like coming, or a single, and it's like, hey, I do have kids and I might need to walk out. And like, it's not like recognizing that life, like, I can be hospitable while life is still going on. Life doesn't have to stop in order to be hospitable. And I think that that's important for people to see too, young people, singles. Hey, come join me while I'm doing life.
Yeah.
And we can talk.
Yes. And I think that's the greatest sermon that we can ever preach, is just living our lives as Christians and moms, Christian moms and dads and husbands and wives in front of other people. That's mm-hmm. been the most impactful for me in my own life, is just watching people live their lives. And I'm not saying we put ourselves on the stage and we have to perform perfectly, but they're seeing an applied sermon. They're seeing an applied gospel lived out around the table or on the couch or whatever. So I love that. What about, you know, I'm thinking of capacity too, though, with having so many young children. And even for me, I have teenagers, but I still feel like I have limited capacity because their lives are so full. And so can you speak to that? How can we, you know, sometimes we might need to not have somebody over, but how do you handle that?
Yeah, I do think that it is important to, like, take inventory of where you are, like, where you are as a family. And there may be times where you're more available to do that. And then there are times where it's like, you know, like, hey, as a family, like, I think we need a break. You know, as COVID kind of helped us recalibrate in that way, and we recognize, like, oh, like, we didn't realize maybe how fast we were going and how much was going on. And so, like, coming, like, continuing to go through it, like, we're now thinking, like, okay, how can we re-engage in a more sustainable way?
Yeah.
So I think it's okay to take inventory of where you are and realize we can do one family this month, or we can do this, or, you know, we can send a gift card to a family that we would like to have come over, but we just don't have the time right now. Or this is what we can do right now, and then not feeling guilty about that.
Yeah, that's really good. One more kid question. A lot of times when my kids were little and we'd have people come over with their kids, my kids' stuff would get really messed up. Like, Lego sets would be broken and things that were very valuable to them.
Yeah.
And that was always a hard conversation for me to help my kids think through sharing their things.
Yeah.
And but also sometimes we would draw lines, like we would move things into our bedroom or whatever if they were really important. So do you guys deal with that kind of stuff? And if so, how do you help your kids think about that?
Yeah. Well, in our case, our kids usually destroy each other's things before anyone else has the opportunity to do that. But it's still that conversation of sharing. And I do have friends like, hey, this is really special to my son, so we're gonna put this someplace else. Or sometimes we'll have to make the room, we'll keep the bedrooms off limits.
Yeah.
Whether that's just because of the kids' ages or the level of cleanliness that they were able to acquire before the guests came. But we've told them, like, hey, these are things we want to make sure that our guests feel welcome and that we're being hospitable and sharing. So most of the time in our case, you know, it just comes down to, like, everyone take turns. And that's where we are. But I do think, like, yeah, I think it's okay to have things where you're like, all right, these things we're going to move, or, like, we're going to make these spaces off limits. So that everything we can avoid unnecessary dramas and traumas.
I'll tell you my funniest story is we had a bunch of families over, and at one point I had to go up to my room, and I walk in my room, and my kids and other people's kids are in my bed.
Yeah.
With their feet on my pillows. I was livid at my kids because I thought, okay, maybe I didn't communicate it well, but you should know the boundaries, and you have to communicate the boundaries to other people. And this was when my kids were old enough where they just should have said, we shouldn't be in my parents' room, and definitely not putting our feet on my parents' pillows. But
yes, we have had that scenario.
Oh my gosh. What about spontaneous hospitality? The people who just show up at the doorstep. It seems like you guys are people who would, people would think that was something they could do with you. And I think there's some people who give off the, that's not something we do. And that's okay. I think that's okay. But how, can you walk us through, how do you engage those folks that just show up at the doorstep?
Yeah. So we've had lots of that. And a lot of times, like, I've had a lot of that personally, like during the day, since I'm, you know, I stay at home with my kids. I'm a stay at home mom right now. And so, you know, I would have like a lot of ladies that would like, maybe they're on lunch break or like, hey, can I stop by? Or the neighbors, we've got a lot of neighbors that go to our church as well. And it's like, hey, so I think like that, making that space like, yeah, you're welcome to come in. I'm just washing dishes, or I'm just cooking dinner. Or I'm just, but we've also had, you know, sometimes friends or people in crisis that like we get a call and it's like, hey, you're welcome to come and spend the night on our couch, or you can come over if you need to talk. We're here. And I think we've been in a place, and it, depending on the situation, where it's like, yes, you're like, come, you're welcome. Let's talk. And sometimes it's like, we're on the porch and it's like, hey, how are you doing? Like, oh, I don't have a lot of time right now, but how are you? How can I pray for you? You know? So I think it depends on like where you are, but I do think that we've tried to make ourselves available to people, even in sometimes unexpected.
Yeah. Are there things that you kind of check? I'm just thinking when that happens for me, there's a little point where I am speaking to myself almost like, or sometimes a prayer, or it's just a quick attitude check because I'm usually doing something, or, you know, I have something to do on my list. So do you have anything like that where you just kind of tell yourself something in that moment?
Yeah. So there are times where I'm like, where there's that, you know, especially like maybe it's like a call 20 minutes before, like, hey, is it fine for me to stop by? Where it's like, you know, I think about like all that. And it's like, okay, Lord, help me to be available to this person this time. But then there are other times where I have to check myself and make sure that I'm not just saying yes because I feel like I should say yes. And giving myself permission at times to say, hey, I'm not available right now, but, you know, maybe there's another time that we can get together. And I think that's important too, because I lean more on the side of, well, I can feel guilty sometimes, like, oh, I need to do this. This is the Christian thing to do. But I was reminded, I think reading and just all that, like, that it's like, sometimes it's the Christian thing to say no. Like, you need, like, realizing that one, you can't be everything to everyone, and that you have to be okay to say no, so we don't fall into the people-pleasing category.
Right. So for someone who's listening who hospitality just scares them, they just don't even know where to begin. Maybe they're a new pastor's wife, and they... They feel a little overwhelmed by it. What would you say as far as a first step for them to take?
Yeah. Well, I would say a first step for anyone with hospitality is just in-person hospitality. Like just, you know, making yourself, like just being personable to the people that are around you. If you're a pastor's wife, or if you're, just a member of another church and you want to continue to grow in this area, then it takes some of that, like that initiative of, I'm just going to say hi to some people that I don't know, or to people that I see every week. I'm just going to go up to them. I'm going to say hi. I'm going to welcome them to my church. I'm going to ask them their name and, you know, pray that they have a good week. You know, it doesn't even necessarily go to like, and I'm going to invite them over. Like, that doesn't even need to be your first step. Maybe the first step is just strengthening your skills and just introducing yourself and getting to know other people.
Mm-hmm. So can you walk us through a Sunday morning? Mm-hmm. How you, because we mentioned earlier, hospitality is not just about a meal around a table, that you can practice this, as you just said, on a Sunday morning. So mm-hmm. the sermon ends, the service is over, and you're thinking, how can I go and engage with people? What do you say? Because I know some women are mm-hmm. thinking, okay, what you just said sounds simple, but I don't know what to say and I don't know what to ask.
Yeah. So often, and I don't do this every Sunday, so I don't want to make it seem like I'm like, you know, but sometimes I'll think like, I want to meet someone new today, someone that I don't know. So the service will end, I'll look around and I'll say, I don't know that person. So I'll just, you know, as I'm going, like walk up and just tap them on the shoulder and say, hi, my name is Amber. You know, what's your name? And have you been coming here a very long time? If you're a larger church and maybe you don't know, you know, that could be a good question. And it's like, oh, well, it's nice to meet you. And then from there, like, oh, well, I'm glad that you were able to come. I hope that you have a wonderful day. Or so that's usually something that I'll do. Like if I'm trying to meet someone, like, hi, I know, or like, hi, I haven't seen you before. My name's Amber. I just wanted to introduce myself. Mm-hmm. And that usually will kick off a short conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Where we live, it's very transient. So a lot of times people are yes. new to the community. So I can say, mm-hmm. what brought you to the community? What do you, mm-hmm. you know, what usually that's a job or school or something like that. Yeah. So then that just leads to so many more questions that I can ask. So, yes. Okay. So I hope that people listening are hearing this and going, I can do that. It may be a little scary and mm-hmm. I might put my foot in my mouth a time or two, which I have done. I did that last Sunday. Sometimes it's going to be a little awkward, but pushing through that awkward is, there's such richness that comes for just being able to say, I want to honor this person by seeing them, by asking about them, and maybe, you know, inviting them into my home and honoring them just with my presence and being with them. So I hope by listening to Amber, you are encouraged and challenged to do that. So thank you so much, Amber, for joining me and giving us your tips. So helpful.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.